We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Something terrible is going to happen.
Donald Trump has another court date on the calendar after pleading not guilty for the third time in 4 months.
Damn it. Going to use this another lawsuit?
My name is Barnaby Dirk, and I'm Donald Trump's official scheduler. And I want to die. I have a color-coded system that falls apart every 10 minutes, but red is for state court prep, blue is for federal court cases, yellow is New York City court cases, purple is for time he spends with his kids, but I also use it for fraud charge cases because they basically overlap. Then each morning, I input a daily schedule into a common electoral monthly calendar from the 90s, so President Trump actually reads it. Please don't ask me about the ketchup stains. Oh, yeah, sure. We can put a deposition on the books. But could you just please remind me, what day comes between Tuesday and Wednesday? Oh, really? Well, then I guess we'll have to invent one to fit it in, won't we, you f***ing hoe? I've kept schedules for CEOs, titans of industry, that Nexium guy. It's never been a problem, no matter how much they get sued or how many secret families they have. But this is like nothing I've done before. Sometimes I have to get creative about scheduling two things at once. Like one time Mr. Trump had a round of golf that he refused to cancel. But he also had to bury his ex-wife, Ivana. So I figured out how to have him at both places at once.
There are reports that Ivana will be buried in New Jersey on the grounds of the Trump National Golf Course in Bedminster.
I won a golden calendar for that. It's my profession's top award. As you can see, sometimes I have to schedule down to the minute. When he's going for the court case, bathroom breaks, when he comes out, when he stands outside and goes on a rant about how the stenographer is rigging a case or that the clerk really wants to bone him or something. I haven't left this building in 6 months. I pretty much live on Logan Paul's energy drink and Don Jr.'s leftover Coke. I think I have kids. Do I have kids? F- I don't remember. But I dream about the day when there's nothing left to schedule. I did it. I scheduled it all.
A former President Trump now has another court date. I'm Doug Lusader in Washington. We'll have more.
No! God damn it!
Yeah! Many court dates!
is the end of a long day where everyone's been chugging red wine and awkwardly smiling and uncomfortable family stories. There's a good chance you either are or are with a weird uncle. It's great to be with all of you. And by the way, I just want to say, I personally have nothing against weird uncles. We all have them. They play an integral role in the family dynamic. It's how younger generations learn about stuff like pull my finger, members only jackets, Sven Gulli, off-track betting, and the non-pillow products sold by Mike Lindell. Yeah, he makes great slippers, too, but the liberal media won't tell you about that. He's even got a whole line of fake mustaches called My Stash. Touch it. Feels real, right? Yeah, they make it from horsehair. I don't know. I think they grab the tails while they run by. So weird uncles are fine, but there is a delicate balance when one enters an ecosystem. A solitary weird uncle, that's manageable, but too many weird uncles and chaos is upon you. And that's what's happened to American politics, which in recent years has become dominated by weird uncles. Guys like Lindell or Steve Bannon or Rudy Giuliani. In fact, the weird uncles all seem to gravitate toward each other and team up together, kind of like Voltron, if Voltron had a Ziploc full of pills in his glove compartment. Just this week, Lindell was on Bannon's streaming show or podcast or transmission from his volcano lair or whatever the hell it is, where Lindell claimed that a recent judge's ruling in Georgia that had nothing to do with him and did not even mention his name had somehow vindicated him for spreading election lies, proving that he is not a conspiracy theorist. He even brought props and a costume to really drive home the point.
Well, first of all, Steve, I get to take off my tinfoil hat. You know, that's what that judge said. We're not a conspiracy theory guy anymore. Praise the Lord.
First of all, I love that we're at the point where Mike Lindell is actually wearing the things I used to ask my graphics team to Photoshop on top of him. Second of all, that's not what tinfoil hats are supposed to look like. They're pointy. You don't just wrap tinfoil around a baseball cap. You look like a cabbie from a bad sci-fi movie. Hand it to Mike Lindell, who can do a thing only crazy people do in a way that is even crazier. If you were wearing a regular tinfoil hat on the subway and Mike Lindell sat down next to you in his, you'd move to the next car. That guy is crazy. Where was I? Oh, the government sending brainwaves.
Not only are the Republicans fighting Democrats, they're fighting each other. And literally, Congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee told the media that former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy elbowed him hard in the kidney as he passed him in the hall, for real. Presumably as some kind of payback for voting to remove McCarthy as Speaker last month. McCarthy denies he did it, of course. He also denies the election, so he's probably lying. And then we had trouble in the Senate, too, where a former MMA fighter and current meathead from Oklahoma, this guy Mark Wayne Mullen, got into it with the president of the Teamsters Union.
Sir, this is a time, this is a place. If you want to run your mouth, we can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, hold, stop it.
Is that your solution? Every poll.
No. Sit down. Sit down. Okay. You know, you're a United States Senator. Sit down.
Active.
Oh, okay. Sit down, please.
All right.
Can I respond?
Hold it. If hold we on. Can't, no, I have the mic. Said. I'm sorry.
This is
hold
what
it.
He said.
You'll have your time.
Okay.
Can I respond?
Oh, no, you can't.
No, it's Grandpa Bernie is about to turn this car around, and then nobody's going to Six Flags.
How about we do it for charity at the Smoking Guns in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
No, we're not going to be talking about physical confrontations here.
You want to fight me?
What do you say by any time, any place?
Let's have coffee, discuss our differences.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
All right, well, let's sit and have coffee.
Let's do it.
All
right. I'd love to.
But
do
the,
it.
It's funny how you're back.
Okay. Well, I don't back on anything.
You did.
You're the one. You're a 100. Senator. Should be the most influential people in this country making changes. Senator, you're focused on.
Okay.
You're focused on debate that's not even relevant. You're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment.
Look,
an embarrassment to the state of
Oklahoma. This hearing is about the condition of the working class in America.
You
that's
brought
what
a thug
we're
talking about.
You're the biggest thug here.
You brought him in.
You're the biggest thug. Even
look,
your colleagues call you.
Why you do what you're doing, Senator Hassan?
It's like UFC span all of a sudden. It's... Meanwhile, time is running out for future former Congressman George Santos. He's expected to be expelled from the House. They're skipping the vote and going straight to the Heimlich to get rid of him. Santos says that if he is removed from Congress, he will wear it like a badge of honor, right next to his Medal of Freedom and his Purple Heart, but one thing he will not do is go quietly into the night.
These people have one thing that astonishes me every single day that I'm in their presence is they all act like they are on ivory towers with white pointy hats and they're untouchable. I mean, within the ranks of the United States Congress, there's felons galore. There's people with all sorts of shiesty backgrounds. And all of a sudden, George Santos is the Mary Magdalene of United States Congress. We're all going to stone this motherfucker. Because it's just politically expedient,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Also because of the whole stealing credit card numbers to pay for OnlyFans thing, but but yeah, Mary Magdalene sounds better.
Nonetheless, this gang of weirdos in Trump's orbit is once again inching closer to power. As polls show, the presidential race is essentially a dead heat just a year before the election. Trump has promised that this time around he'll stock his administration with loyalists who obediently follow his every command. And his former aides from his first term, like his ex-chief of staff John Kelly, have been out there sounding the alarm about just how bad that would be.
The Washington Post interviewed 16 former Trump advisors who are now speaking out against him publicly. And that includes John Kelly, who was the longest-serving chief of staff for the former president. Kelly tells the newspaper this: what's going on in the country that a single person thinks this guy would still be a good president when he said the things he said and done the things he's done? It's beyond my comprehension. He has the support he has. I think we're in a dangerous zone in our country.
I also love when it finally dawns on these former Trump guys how the rest of us have felt for the last 7 years. It's 2023, and suddenly they're like, oh, goodness, I don't get it. How can people support this guy? You worked for him. It's like if someone said, how can anyone listen to Hall & Oates? And you turned around to see who it was, and it was Oates. So Trump's former aides are now speaking out because they can't believe it's actually in a dead heat with Biden, and Trump has made his plans extremely clear. If he wins the second term, he'll weaponize the Justice Department to crush enemies. He's referred to as vermin. That's not an exaggeration. That's an exact quote. The Washington Post reported that Trump and his allies will seek revenge in a second term, and Trump himself has admitted as much in rallies and interviews.
According to recent Washington Post reporting, quote, Donald Trump and his allies have begun mapping out specific plans for using the federal government to punish critics and opponents should he win a second term, with the former president naming individuals he wants to investigate or prosecute.
We will start by exposing every last crime committed by crooked Joe Biden. Because now that he indicted me, we're allowed to look at him.
This is third world country stuff. Arrest your opponent. And that means that I could do that, too.
If they want to follow through on this, it could certainly happen in reverse. It could certainly happen in reverse. What they've done is they've released the genie out of the box.
Yes. Famously, that is the saying. They released the genie out of the box, they opened Pandora's lamp, and they let the cat out of solitary confinement. And look, this couldn't be farther down my list of complaints about Donald Trump, but genies live in lamps or bottles. You know, things with openings that are conducive to smoke-based beings making a dramatic exit. How would a genie even come out of a box? You just rub the sides of random DHL packages? And if you get lucky, a voice from inside says, I am the genie of the box. You're gonna need to poke a hole in the side for me. And I'll tell you this much, there's no way a box genie has three wishes to give. If a genie's in a box, that genie's in a bad place in his life. If anything, he's gonna need to borrow a wish from you. Genie of the box, I wish for fame and fortune. Oh, that's a good one. Wish I thought of that one. I used my last wish to get Aaron Rodgers on the Jets. The bet on that one. Should've wished for stronger ankles. Okay, I think I'm gonna get back in my box now. Also, can we go back to this?
This is third world country stuff. Arrest your opponent. And that means that I could do that, too.
Only Trump would call something third world in one sentence and then immediately brag about doing it in the next sentence. It's disgusting what they're doing to me. Only a truly appalling, cretinous, subhuman monster would ever stoop to such grotesque and horrifying lows, which is why I'm very excited to announce that I will soon be doing the exact same thing. Of course, there's a massive difference between what Trump has promised to do and what prosecutors are currently doing to Trump. Trump is facing four different criminal cases, including one in Washington, D.C., for what we all saw with our own eyes, his attempt to overturn the election. Trump, on the other hand, wants revenge because he's still fixated on all the investigations of his very obvious criminal behavior. Rallies, he started doing a new bit where he compares his indictments to those of Al Capone, although the stories about Capone keep changing. Here's the latest version.
I've been indicted more times than Alphonse Capone.
He's the most vicious of all gangsters. If he took you to dinner and if you didn't look proper, if you laughed a little bit, he might think you're laughing at him. It's dangerous to laugh. He'd kill you immediately. He was indicted one time. I was indicted four times.
Okay, so he definitely is thinking of the famous scene.
Al Capone.
We have no Mr. Capone.
Come out here, Capone. You want to fight?
You got nothing. Not a lot of talk in the bed. You're here because you got nothing. You got nothing in court. You got nothing. Nothing.
He probably thinks Joe Pesci is Al Capone. Al Capone, the most vicious of gangsters. The only two people who could take him down were Elliot Ness and Kevin McAllister. You know, I met Kevin McAllister once. He was lost in New York. It was very sad. Very sad. So Trump wants to seek revenge on his critics because he's fixated on all the investigations he's been through. He's even still obsessed with the Russia investigation. At a rally just a few days ago, he went out of his way to bring up one of the more salacious rumors that was flying around about his personal life back in 2017.
This is the greatest witch hunt. It started with Russia, Russia, Russia. Remember that? He was with four hookers. You think that was good that night to go up and tell my wife, it's not true, darling. I love you very much. It's not true. Actually, that one she didn't believe because she said he's a germaphobe. He's not into that, you know? He's not into golden showers, as they say they call it. He's not. I don't like that idea. No, I didn't. I thought that would be a big problem. I was going to have a rough night, but that one she was very good on. She said, no, that you're okay on that one.
Dude, not even Democrats are thinking about the pee tape anymore. But when you come out 6 years later and deny a story everybody forgot about, I have to think, maybe it's true. If someone came up to you at your 20th high school reunion and said, by the way, I'm not the one who put the sardines in your locker, then you just solved that case. My favorite part is when he said Melania didn't believe that one. Like, there are plenty of other stories she definitely believed. She didn't believe the golden shower story, but when the news broke that I asked a porn star to spank me with a Forbes magazine while we watched Shark Week, she said, that sounds like my Donald. Also, let me just say, I never believe the golden shower story either. I mean, Trump barely looks like he takes regular showers. I mean, look, he's always red-faced and sweating like he's been in the kitchen all day making Thanksgiving dinner, accidentally sticking his own head in the oven. He's overcooked. Looks like he should be served on a plate next to some yams and a green bean casserole. So it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving, which means we're just under a year away from the election. Everyone's taking stock of where we're at. Thanks to the GOP, our national politics has basically been turned into a nonstop Thanksgiving dinner made up entirely of weird uncles. And if Trump wins a second term, his administration will be full of weird uncles. Except now they'll have real power. No, no.
But let's move on to something lighthearted. Abortion. You guys remember how Donald Trump killed Roe v. Wade right after he killed Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I presume? Well, now, Trump is making the confusing and strategic decision to run as a moderate on abortion. Yeah, Trump, a moderate on abortion. It's like the Kool-Aid man suddenly caring about walls. It's too late, dude. The damage is done. Now, don't let anyone tell you that abortion is not popular in this country. Even the man who killed them is acting like he supports them. What happened to Roe v. Wade, folks? Come on. Obama lost them. We're going to bring back Roe. We're going to bring back Wade. I talked to both of them. They're on board. I love to make deals.
We got a fascinating look into what went down between Trump and his former vice poodle Mike Pence on January 6th. The special counsel, they've been quietly conducting their investigation by the book, specifically the book Mike Pence wrote.
Well, there are new details emerging about former Vice President Mike Pence's conversations with special counsel Jack Smith, where Pence was questioned about personal notes he took after meetings with then-President Trump. And one line of questioning had to do with the placement of a comma in a quote from Pence's book. Pence wrote that he told Trump on Christmas Day 2020, quote, you know, comma, I don't think I have the authority to change the outcome of the election on January 6th. That comma there, that's key. ABC News reporting Pence told prosecutors it should never have been placed there, that it was supposed to be an admonishment.
Yes, he was supposed to be, you know, I don't think I have the authority. But instead it looked like, you know, I know. Only Mike Pence could get caught up in a controversy about a comma. It's Donald Trump's out there banging porn stars, throwing bottles of ketchup at the wall. Mike Pence is giving sworn testimony about a typographical error, a comma. Though to be fair, commas aren't, they're not really, he's more of a colon guy. You know, he had his, had his head up Trump for almost 4 years, but commas are important. Commas can make quite a difference. For instance, if you add a comma to hang Mike Pence, it becomes hang Mike Pence. Pull up a cushion and chill out.
Donald Trump revived his threat to repeal Obamacare this past weekend. On social media on Saturday, the 2024 Republican frontrunner wrote that he is seriously looking at alternatives to the Affordable Care Act if he were to win next year's presidential election. Of course, Trump vowed to gut Obamacare before he was even elected the first time, but once he entered the Oval Office, he failed to follow through and never even presented an alternative health care plan.
So the Koch brothers, remember these guys? They used to have these brothers from, I think they were Kansas, you know, we were not in Kansas anymore. Toto, remember Africa, Rains in Africa. But the point is, these people used to have so much power. Well, everybody was scared of them because they had so much money. They didn't have that much money. And then I showed up and I was like, guess what? I don't need your old money from your boring state in Kansas, okay? I have my own money, and it's a lot more than yours, to be honest. So they got very upset with Donald Trump, because I was making, it's called Making America Great Again. And then the Koch brothers, they say, we need a new plan. We need a new plan. We're defenseless against Trump. And then one of them died like a dog. How about that? So they're not even Koch brothers, which used to be, I think, a website. Mike Pence, he loved that way. You'd look in Mike Pence's search history. It's like, what are you doing, Mike? You should be working to help this administration. Instead, you're looking on websites about the Koch brothers. But the point is, one of them died, so I think it's only, like, one Koch brother now, okay? And trust me, they couldn't beat me 2-on-1. They're not going to beat me 1-on-1. Oh, but they came out very strongly today. Oh, we're supporting, we're putting our money behind Nikki Haley. Very disloyal, Nikki. And remember, Prince had Darling Nikki? We're gonna call her Disloyal Nikki. We'll see if Prince can do a remix. He's doing good music from what I hear right now. So we like Prince. And I would have understood if they backed up like Valtrex Rumpelstiltskin. Now this guy's at least, he's Indian also. Not a lot of people know that. But he's got some charisma. He sort of reminds me of me when I do brownface at Halloween. But the point is, they decided to back Disloyal Nikki, so now I'm gonna destroy Disloyal Nikki, whichever Koch brother, Koch brother is alive still, okay? And we're gonna win, and it's gonna be very tough on them, so very nice, Koch brother, waste your money.
Hello, how are you?
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.